Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Ken Shepherd. How are you guys? Hope everybody's having a nice day. It's about 8:30 in the morning, California time today. We're starting a little bit earlier because I have a pretty busy schedule. Name of the show is Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money, which we think is a very interesting subject. The call-in number is 347-989-1329. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. That's a log line we have. We have been in the business about 30 years, done recently about $26 million in closings, a $500 million soft proof of bond, and have over $500 million in process right now. Let me do the disclaimer and get that out of the way. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Okay, here we go. This show is intended for the listeners only. All information investment-wise contained in the show has been secured from sources created by Lipson. Ken Shepherd believes are reliable. We make no representations or warranties. Expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show or for any consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided at the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So that's the little disclaimer. We're done with that. Our website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. You can look at our accomplishments and resume, read about us, call us at 310-358-7087 on a 24/7 basis, or send us an email to fci@pacbell.net on a 24/7 basis. You can Twitter to us at Ken Shepherd. That's our Twitter feed. And our Facebook page is Ken Shepherd /Facebook or Ken Shepherd /CreativeFlipsInc. We run a class every Tuesday and Thursday, 9 o'clock California time, 20 people maximum in the room, $20 a person, in a networking environment with very, very interesting people, all who have been pre-approved by us to join the class, $20 a person. If you're interested in that, just send me an email to kenshepherd51@yahoo.com and let me know that you're interested in attending the class. We also have an ability to connect with over 140,000 investors. And that's through Ken, KENREERADIO.com. There are free options on the service, or you can premium upgrade. And if you do, then, of course, we're an affiliate. But it allows you to connect with 140,000 investors, biggest investor base I know on the Internet. Wonderful place. No charge whatsoever. You can meet some great people there, and you can do some wonderful things. And we're very excited to have you with us today. The subject of the show today is analyzing the valuation of commercial real estate. And we're going to talk about specifically how you look at a property that's either fully occupied or partially occupied or vacant. Okay? We're not talking here about land. We're not talking here about those kinds of projects. We're talking about income-producing commercial real estate. And that could be an apartment building, shopping center, office building, self-storage facility, anything that has income to it. It could be a group of houses for that matter. Okay? So, first thing you want to know about anything having to do with commercial real estate, and this is how you value real estate today, is it's valued on what's called a capitalization rate. And a capitalization rate is just a fancy term for how many years it takes you, based on the net operating income of the property, which we'll get to in a second, to recapture your purchase price. So as an example, we'll get into an example in a minute, actually. So let's talk about some specific easy terms that have to do with commercial valuation. And you can do this very quickly. This is not like where you have to, you know, inspect the property or anything like that. This is just like a 30,000-foot view, kind of overview of the numbers to see if the deal makes sense to even consider. Okay? So the first thing you look at is the gross income that's in place right now. That is people that are paying rent or people that are paying leases, whatever it may be. So let's keep a simple example of a 20-unit building where people pay $500 a month for each unit. 500 times 20 is $10,000 a month. $10,000 a month times 12 is $120,000 a year. So that building has a potential gross income of $120,000 a year based on market rents. Let's just assume for the sake of very simple discussion that the market rents are $500 a unit. So that means $120,000 a year, $10,000 a month. Okay. The first thing you have to do is you have to remove from that $120,000, assuming it's fully occupied, you have to, and let's just assume for the sake of argument, it is fully occupied right now. It's $120,000 a year. You take off a vacancy factor of, say, 5 to 10%, and then you take off a expense factor of around 30 to 35%. So to keep the numbers simple, let's say we're going to deduct 45% of the gross income. Now, the vacancy factors can vary depending on the market. You have to check the vacancy factor for your market. We just use 10 to be very conservative. And the expenses can vary as well. And people will tell you, we're going to get into this in a minute, why the expenses aren't what we say they are, but we're going to use 35% for expenses. So if you take a building that's doing $120,000 a year and you multiply that by 55%, which means you're taking off now all the expenses to run the property, not the mortgage, but all the expenses to run the property, property taxes, management, keeping the lawn clean, anything and everything. Let's say all that's 45% or 35% and 10% more for vacancy. You then take 55% of $120,000 a year, and you come up to $120,000. Let me just do this real quickly. $120,000 times 55%, which is $66,000. So $66,000 is what's called your net operating income. Okay? Your net operating income is that amount of money that you have to service loans pay for any profit. It's that simple. So if you have $66,000 a year, then the way we generally value properties is we do what's called a capitalization rate on that particular amount of income. So the average capitalization rate for properties like this, which you can get from comps and brokers and things like that, is, let's just say it's 9, okay? So if you take 9, that means it's going to take you a little over 11 years to recapture your investment, okay? Of course, the higher the cap rate, the shorter the term to collect the recapture. The lower the cap rate, the higher the term. Cap rates in Beverly Hills can be 3 and 4. Cap rates in very inexpensive areas can be 12 and more. But let's just say you're using 9, you take $66,000, divided by 9, and therefore your value of that property is $733,000. Okay? So that's if the property's full, that's if the property's occupied, and that's based upon estimates of what it costs for expenses and a vacancy factor. Now, owners of property will say, well, my expenses are only 20%. Well, that's fine, but I don't use 20%. Because appraisers don't use 20%. We use 35 and 10 because we know that's conservative, and we know that we can use, and assuming they're right and we're wrong, we actually bought it under market. Because if they say their expenses are 20% and their vacancy factor is 5%, let's do the numbers there. 66,000, let's see, 120,000 income, 75%, because you took off 20 for expenses and 5 for vacancy, is 90,000. 9 cap that, like we just did. That comes up to, I'm trying to get that, my calculator's having a little problem this morning. Let's see, so we said 90,000, let's see, 120,000 times 75% is 90,000 at a 9 cap is $1 million. Okay? So it's $1 million based on what they think the expenses are, and it's $733,000 based on what we think the expenses are. Now, if you can use 733 as your marker, and you're going to say this is what the property's worth at full market, and you're not doing any kind of creative financing, which we can get into later, but we're going to talk about an all-cash purchase. Actually, we won't even talk about that. We'll just talk about valuation today, okay? The valuation of that asset, in my opinion, is $735,000 or $733 and change. Not $990, not $1 million, not $1.5 million, $733. They'll argue with you and they'll say, well, the expenses are lower and the vacancy is not as much and this, that, and the other. And I would say that's fine, but in the worst circumstances, I have to use what an appraiser would use, and I would use that 35%. So I wouldn't pay more than $733 for that asset at full price. Or if I'm selling it, I would try and sell it based upon the lower expenses if I can, if I'm a seller. But if you're a buyer, you want to have the higher expenses because you want to be protected. And anybody that's a reasonable investor at this level is going to be looking at the books anyway as part of their contingencies and decisions of whether or not to buy the asset. So if you have something that's capping at 9, cap rate of 9, like we just said, that means it's my opinion it's worth $733,000. Let's do the numbers based on a higher cap rate. Let's do the numbers based on a 12 cap. So if we start with $120,000, take off 45% of that comes out to the $66,000, divide it by 12, which means it takes longer to recoup the money. It's going to be $550,000 as your purchase price. Actually, it's shorter term to recoup the money. Sorry. So that's $550,000 using my numbers. And then if you use the 20 and the 5% number, and you go that back to $120,000, you take 75% of that and divide it by 12 cap, you come up to $750,000. That's a $200,000 difference. So you can see that the higher the cap rate, the lower the value. And conversely, the lower the cap rate, the higher the value. So when you're looking at property, you always want to know what's the cap rate for that area. And if you ask the seller that right away, they will know that you know what you're doing. Because that's a very simple question. Everybody uses it in real estate all over the country. That's how things are valued. When you're looking at capitalization rates, that tells you how many years it takes you to recover your investment based on what you paid for the asset. Okay. Now, one of the things that happens is agents will say, well, property's 50% occupied now, but it will be 100% occupied soon. And they'll try and sell you on the basis of what's called the pro forma. Sellers will try and do this as well. And the pro forma is what's the property worth once it's fully stabilized. Stabilized is just another fancy word for once you have at least 90% occupancy, so the building has a stable income, stabilized. Whereas when you're dealing with pro forma is based on projections. Actuals is based on where you are today. So if a building is 50% occupied, am I going to take the pro forma or am I going to take the actuals when I try and figure out the value of the asset? Got the answer? Okay, the answer is that I'm going to take the actuals. Why? Because anything that I do to improve that property from either an income standpoint by raising the rents, a management standpoint by reducing the costs, or an income standpoint by increasing the amount of vacancy, reducing the amount of vacancy, is all benefit to me, not benefit to the seller. The seller will say, well, I did this and I did that. Well, but they didn't, you know, and you have to. It's sort of like if you're buying a house that's fully repaired, and you also have to pay for the repairs as the buyer, and you're paying for a fully repaired house, doesn't make any sense. Pay for the repairs once, not twice. Same thing here. You don't pay for the fixing of the property and the rehab of the property and stabilizing of the real estate and give the benefit to the seller. So I would use 550. Now let's go based on that. Let's say you're 50% occupied, say 500 units or 20 units, that's $500 a unit, that's $10,000 a month. So that means your income is half of that. Your income is $5,000 a month, right? So if your income is $5,000 a month, that means your income is $60,000 a year. And if you have $60,000 a year, you probably have the same amount of expenses pretty much as you have on a property that's fully occupied. So you have to take off the vacancy factor. You say, well, you're already 50% occupied, so you wouldn't take off the vacancy factor if you're trying to do the actuals. You would take off some expenses of, let's say, 30% for expenses, a little bit lower because you don't have as many units. So instead of 35, I'd use 30. So take 60,000 times 70%. That's 42,000. I use the actuals when I cap, put a cap rate on it, that is, not the pro forma. So the actuals divided by 9 means that building is worth today 42,000 divided by 9. Okay, hold on a second. 42, my calculator's having a little problem this morning. 42,000 divided by 9 is a value of 466,000. Okay? So again, you're not going to pay full price. You'll pay 466 maybe if you want to pay for what's really there today, because you're going to have to do all those improvements to make it worth that 733 we talked about, even if we use my expenses of 35 and vacancy of 10. So you're going to buy it for 466, or you're going to value it at 466. You may not pay that for it, but you're going to value it at 466 versus what the seller may say, well, I want 550. Say, look, it's just not worth that. Even at a 9 cap rate, you're looking for like a 6 cap rate or a 7 cap rate or whatever. So remember, you want to also cap it as high as you can. So let's go back to that and use the 12 cap when you're making the purchase. So let's say you have $60,000 a year. Take off 30% for expenses. That means $42,000 income. $42,000 income at a 12% cap rate, which is high, is a $350,000 purchase. So I would consider, obviously, the higher the cap, the better the price for you as a buyer. The lower the cap, the worse the price for you as a buyer. Okay? So you want as high a cap as you want, as you can. We always try and buy it at least a 10 cap on the actual numbers. Sometimes we buy it an 8 or a 9 on the actual numbers because we know we're going to improve the property and that's going to give us more income and more value. Now, once again, the investor, the seller or the broker, whoever you're working with, is going to say, well, the property's worth such and such on a pro forma basis. I don't use pro forma ever, because if I'm going to use the pro forma, that means I'm paying the seller for things I have to pay for again to fix up, which means I paid twice. I paid once to the seller and once to the actual hard repairs. Why would I do that? I would never do that. Okay. Now, when you're dealing with vacant property is basically based upon its as-is value of the land alone, and maybe a little bit extra for the building because it's vacant. It's totally vacant. So you have to now fix it up if there's any repairs, what's called deferred maintenance in the industry. You have to manage it. You have to put the tenants in, or you have to find a management company. You have to fill it up, and then you have to stabilize it. Now, when you do all those things, do you get the benefit of all that? Sure you do, because when you're improving anything, whether it's a single-family home and you're rehabbing it, or it's a large apartment building and you're rehabbing it, or an office building or a shopping center or whatever, you're making improvements. Improvements are a word in the industry for fixing things up. You're improving it. So if you're improving it, you're going to make it worth more money. Okay? So when you're looking for these properties, the most important thing is the first thing I always ask is I ask for a rent roll. I want to know who's in the property and what are they paying? Are they evicted right now? Are they in the process of being evicted? Or is it a vacant unit? We're looking at a 58-unit property this morning, and the first thing I asked for is the rent roll. They sent it to me, and they said, well, we want X number of dollars. And I said, well, let me see what the actual rents are. Let me see what the vacancy is. Then we'll figure out together what the property could do, and we'll take off the vacancy factor, because it's 80% occupied, so it does have a little bit of upside in terms of vacancy. It has 20% upside, actually, in terms of vacancy, and I think the rents are also a little low. But getting rents raised is also a challenge because you've got tenants in there, and you don't want to have the tenants leave, because then you have to replace the tenant, unless the tenant's paying less, next to nothing. because you haven't changed the rent in 20 years, which I've seen. So you can sometimes either raise the rent with a tenant or tell them they have to move after a certain period of time and replace it with a tenant that pays the current market rent or close to the current market rent. So the understanding here is you definitely want to deal with property where you understand what the value of that asset is, okay? Now, again, every property is different depending on location. You're not going to have the same capitalization rate on a property in a blighted neighborhood as you are in a beautiful, high-end neighborhood. However, I have actually seen people make more money on the area where the blighted property is because you have more opportunity to put tenants in because there's more people that need a place to stay that need affordable housing. So you can get Section 8 tenants. You can get sometimes help from the government, whatever it may be, and that's a whole other subject. But what we're talking about today is valuation. How do you quickly, and I mean quickly, I mean like in 2 minutes, just give a quick thumbnail valuation of an asset. And that's helpful when you're on the phone with a seller or you're on the phone with a broker, and they say, well, it's worth this. And I say, okay, the first thing is how much is the current income? Not the pro forma income. What's the current income? What are the actual expenses? Not the pro forma expenses. What are the expenses now? And those come from the books and records of the seller, which, of course, you have to look at during your due diligence. But assuming that you're being told the truth and you're not having, you know, and you don't find something different in the due diligence and people are being in good faith when they deal with you, then you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, here's the value of the asset. Here's how much it's going to cost to fix it up. Here's how much it's going to cost to put more tenants in it or find out to raise the rents. Because if you raise the rents, of course, you raise the value. Because even if the capitalization rate is the same and the expenses are the same, if the rent goes up, your expenses don't necessarily go up. But I would use the percentage of the higher rent number because you want to give yourself that much more conservative protection. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is you want to know what the value of that asset is. And you don't want anybody else's opinion other than yours or somebody you trust or an appraiser you trust, not the seller side. If the seller gives you an appraisal, say, well, I have an appraisal for, we'll use back to my example of the same property, the 20-unit apartment building. I have an appraisal of $900,000, and it's fully occupied. Well, that's your opinion. And you're entitled to it, and hopefully you can get it, but you're not going to get it from me. Because I'm going to use that property at a 9 cap, as we did, and I'm going to say that property's worth, at full price, $733,000. And I'll say, this is why. And and that's part of negotiating and discussing, okay, the expenses really aren't what you say they are, the expenses are different, this, that, and the other thing. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is you want to be accurate with your valuation so you know what you're dealing with when you start making an offer. Now, whether you're making an offer for cash, whether you're making an offer for trade, whether you're making offers for all carry back financing with the seller or creative structuring or a lease option or a master lease option or whatever, all of it comes down to what's the asset worth. When you put that asset on your balance sheet after you close the escrow, how much can you book it for on your balance sheet? Now, you might book it for more than it's really worth on your balance sheet, because you may say, well, the cap rate's really 8, even though I bought it at a 9, okay? Which means your value is going to be higher from your standpoint. But it's very important just to be able to quickly analyze an asset and say, okay, this is what I think this property's worth today. This is what I think the property's worth to me, okay? And many people say, well, I think it's worth much more because I can make income of it and I can sell the laundry, I can rent the laundry rooms and the garages and whatever. That's all fine. I'm not saying they can't and I'm not saying you can't. And you certainly may want to include those income pieces when you're trying to determine your value. But at the end of the day, you want to go off the actual income, because that's what the property is bringing in income today. So when you close on it, that's what you're going to get the basis of as income. Until you either make improvements, bring in new tenants, replace the tenants that are there or whatever, that's what your income is right now. And I don't include anybody that's in an evicted unit as income. That's vacant. Because to me, that's a that's a vacancy in process. Now, hopefully you don't have any of those. We did talk in management on another show about how to manage your tenants so that you don't have tenants that don't pay. I've done all kinds of crazy things. I've bought tenants pizzas. I've done all kinds of stuff to make them happy. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is you want to be able to analyze that asset really fast. And if you're working with a motivated seller, of course, then you're going to try and make the price as low as you can and negotiate the best terms you can and the best price you can. Now, at some point in the future, we'll probably have an appraiser on the show so we can talk about what appraisers have to say, commercial appraisers. But a lot of times, instead of an appraisal, what a seller will do is they'll engage a local realtor to do what's called a broker price opinion. And they'll come in and they'll say, okay, here's my two-page analysis of the value of the property. I'm not an appraiser. This is what I think I can sell the property for today. And they're going to give the seller the highest number they possibly can because they want the listing and they want the seller to say, oh, I'm going to get that much for the house, okay, or that much for the apartment building, okay, I'm going to let you sell it. Well, that may not be the realistic number. So you have to look at the markets, but you have to look at comparables. And the way we look at comparables is on cap rates. We also look at rent comparables. We also look at cost per door comparables, which means you take the number of units, you divide it into the purchase price, and that gives you a cost per unit. Whether it's a larger unit or a smaller unit, is an average cost per unit. And you compare that to what average cost per units are. You look at the age of the building. That's very important. Does it need any deferred maintenance? We talked about that earlier. Does it have any other problems? Does it have any issues with anything, building and safety problems, whatever? Are there any issues that you need to be aware of as the buyer? Are there any liens or judgments that are not going to get released, the title transfer, which is highly unlikely because title won't transfer unless it's clear. Now, if you're buying it without a title policy, that's a whole other thing. Or if you're buying it in creative financing, you can get into some more complex areas. But to keep it very simple, that's how we look to value an asset. And it doesn't matter to me whether the building's in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Houston, Texas, or Ohio, or New York, or Florida. It doesn't matter. The structuring and the way you look at this is all the same. But one of the most beautiful things about real estate is anywhere you go in the country, people look at things the same way. They look at the income. Now, we're talking about commercial real estate now, income-producing property. They look at the income. They look at the expenses. They look at the vacancy factor, and they look at the other things that we just talked about, cost per door, rental, stuff like that. So these are the things that we look at when we try and determine valuation. And these are the things you need to look at when you determine valuation as well. Because this will tell you whether or not somebody's giving you a really potentially good deal. But let's go back to that sample of 733. You do a 9 cap and it's at 733. Maybe they're asking 400. Then obviously that means that they're asking way underneath the market, assuming it's fully occupied. Okay? And so we have 90 seconds left in the show today. It's been great being with you guys. I hope this has been helpful. Once again, please always call us, 310-358-7087. Send us an email to fci@pacbell.net. Look for us at GoToKenRERadio.com and connect with 140,000 or more investors all over the country, all kinds of investors that are doing all kinds of deals. And we are here to help you. We are here to be part of you. And we are here to help you grow. So with that, we were hoping to have Vicki Morris as a guest tomorrow. She's not going to be able to make it. So I'm going to think of an exciting subject to cover tomorrow. And I'll be putting that up online, so you can look at the schedule. We appreciate everybody listening in the archives, becoming a part of our family, and working with us, and joining with us. We've had more people join our Twitter account. That's great. We've had a lot of people join our Facebook page. We've had people join all over the place. Our website membership has gone up substantially, and we're constantly looking to help you grow. And we're constantly also trying to come up with tools that you can use that don't cost you anything. That's the key to us. Some things do. If you want to spend the money, that's up. We're trying to help you figure out how to do it without spending any money, or at least initially. So have a great day. Thanks for listening. Again, Ken Shepherd, and have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.